all the participating in this family worship. We try to encourage everyone to participate as much as possible. And before the sermon, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Especially, please pray for my mother-in-law, Sharon's mom. She is weakened. She has weakened quite rapidly for the past week or so. And she's bedridden. She cannot really walk now. And she have a lot of pain all over the body. We try to balance between giving her medication to relieve her pain, but then she would be just become drowsy all day. And lying in bed also make her cough a lot. And so there's also this discomfort. So we really don't know what, you know, but we just pray that God will give her comfort as she finish her last journey on earth. She's ready to see the Lord, but we just pray that she will have peace and comfort. So let us pray. Okay. Dear Lord, we know that your love and mercy is so great, and your forgiveness for us is so abundant, that the psalmist says, as high as the sky is from the earth, as far as east is from west, so is your mercy and your forgiveness to all of us. As we walk our journey on earth, we experience your goodness, your grace, your forgiveness every day. So thank you. And we lift up Mrs. Wu, my mother-in-law, in your hand. She is completing her final journey on earth. And your goodness, your faithfulness has already shown through her life in blessing us, our family, and many people around us in the church. And we lift up this lady in your hand. Please give her peace, give her comfort, and help her to experience your comfort, your strength, be upon her life every moment. As we open your word, we thank you that you are and our Almighty God. We pray that your Spirit guide, lead us in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last scripture is based on a miracle that Jesus did. It is in the eastern shore of Lake of Galilee. It was actually a place that I recently visited. It's called Kersey, where we saw there are some tombs on the cliff of the mountain, and then there is a steep cliff that leads into the lake. This story of exorcism is quite interesting, because it is the casting away of not just one evil spirit, but a group of evil spirits, you know. Usually when we see, you know, wow, there's a demon or evil spirit, even one would be scared enough, you know, but let alone there's a big group, a legion, you know. So it is an interesting power encounter between Jesus and a group of demons. And also it's interesting is because there's a herd of pigs involved. Okay, so a lot of people said this is the miracle of the jumping pigs. And so with that, let us look at this passage. And it's also a passage on not just on Jesus' victory towards the demons, but it is also a beautiful story of a restoration of a person. So please turn to your Bible to Luke chapter 8, verse 26. So they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes. The region of Gerasenes is a region that is mostly populated by Gentiles. You know, when we read the Bible, we thought that, oh, Israel is mostly occupied by Jews, by the Israelites, especially for the Sea of Galilee. But in that region, in Jesus' time, actually, it was occupied, populated by a lot of Gentiles. That place is famous. It's called, I don't know, some of you have heard of the term called Decapolis. Decapolis is the region of 10 cities. Anyone heard of in a Bible study or commentary? It is a region of 10 cities, and these 10 cities were intentionally established by the Roman Empire, where the Romans put a lot of their retired soldiers to live in these 10 cities. So that's why in the region of Decapolis, also the region of Gerasenes, there are a lot of Gentiles, lots of ex-Roman soldiers living there. And that's why in that area, when Jesus arrived, there is a lot of people raise pigs. You know, according to the Jews, pigs are unclean animals. So Jews would never eat pigs. But in that area, because there's so many Gentiles living there, they have a business of pig raising, herding, okay? So when Jesus crossed the lake from Galilee, he stepped ashore and a demon-possessed man come and meet him, okay? What is the condition of this man? Well, this man have suffered this condition for a long time. So that means this demon-possessed person have been tortured by the demons for a long time. Do they have a family? Probably. You know, he is without clothes. He says he lived in a house. He does not live wear clothes or live in a house, but he probably used to live in a house. So he probably used to have family. You know, look, I just want to put a human face to this person. You know, he is a person who has been tortured by a lot of demons. And he probably may be kicked out of the house because his behavior has become so weird, abnormal, and violent. And people have to change him. So it must be have the communities was involved in taking care of him. In the Gospel of Mark, it says he was using rocks to cut himself. So people have to chain him down to protect him. Or people may have to come out to the tomb area and leave him food for him to eat, right? So he is alone, but not away from the support of the community. And the reason why he have to live alone is because he is a demon-possessed person, okay? So this evil spirit recognized Jesus, okay? Do you notice that? You know, in the gospel, at the early part of the gospel stories, a lot of people do not recognize Jesus. You know, Jesus would perform miraculous signs and wonders, and people would wonder, who is this man? Who is he? But the evil spirit recognized Jesus right away. You know, he come to confront Jesus and yell on top of the voice. Cameron was doing a very good job. He said, who are you? The Son of the Most High God. You know, who are you? You know, do you come to torture me? You know, the evil spirit recognized Jesus. Yet a lot of us have encountered Jesus, experienced Jesus, do not recognize Jesus. So Jesus asked the man, what is your name? And he says, Legion. You know, Legion is a military term. In the Roman military structure, a legion is a group of soldiers of about 6,000 Roman soldiers, a legion, you know. So it's a great army. So maybe it implies that inside this person, there are 6,000 demons, you know. And Jesus says, you know, what is your name? And he says, Legion, because many demons had gone into him. And even with this encounter with 6,000 or more demons, the demons begged Jesus not to order them into the abyss. Okay, the abyss is the space that is reserved for the eternal punishment of demons. So the demons said, no, don't send me there. You know, I'm not ready to go there yet. And instead, they begged Jesus to allow them to go into a herd of pigs nearby. And we don't know how many pigs here, but according to the Gospel of Mark, there were 2,000 pigs. So you see this group, you know. And as soon as this Jesus allowed the legion of demons to go enter into the pigs, and what happened was the pigs become so agitated that they all dive from the cliff into the lake and died. Okay, some of us, you know, was very thought that this is very strange. You know, why would Jesus kill 2,000 pigs? You know, over 2,000 pigs. But you have to notice that it was not Jesus who killed the pigs. It was Jesus. All he did was to allow the demons to enter into the herd of pigs. And it was actually the demons who causes the drowning of this group of swines. So it just revealed the nature of the evil spirit. Evil spirit is bent on killing and destroying. And it's just a physical manifestation of what evil spirit would do to us. And maybe it is also a demonstration that the evil spirit actually did move away from the man to another medium. So it was necessary to demonstrate that. So in any case, the spectacular scene of seeing 2,000 pigs jumping off a cliff and drown was quite a scene. And what remains is the reaction. I draw your attention to the reaction. What happened if you were part of them? You know, what reaction that brought from this miraculous, spectacular happening? Well, you would think that a lot of people would kneel down and maybe worship Jesus, you know. You are the Son of the Most High God, right? Because this is a clear demonstration of the power victory over 6,000 or 2,000 or 6,000 evil spirits. It's a powerful victory, right? You would expect people would kneel down and fall before Jesus and worship him. But no. For the locals, even after witnessing this miraculous power encounter, they rejected Jesus and asked Jesus, please leave us. You know, they rejected the Son of the Most High God. So a lot of people can see miraculous signs. A lot of people experience the mighty works of Jesus. But a lot of people would still reject Jesus. Just like Romans 1, it says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So God revealed his power in his creation, so wonderfully made, yet humans tend to reject Jesus, to reject God. Perhaps we are like the rich young rulers that will not follow Jesus, will not respond to Jesus' call because of his great wealth. Or perhaps we would refuse to follow Jesus because we are still not about to give up the pleasure of sins. But for us, this is a passage is remind us that what have God done for us? So for the reaction of the delivered men is something another difference to the other extremes. For the men from whom the demons have gone out begged to go with Jesus. You know, the locals turn away Jesus, but the person who have experienced the deliverance begged, he said, Jesus, please allow me to be close to you, to follow you. But very strangely, Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done to him. So the reaction is also very extreme. He wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, no, go back to your community and declare how much God has done for you. Jesus sent him to be reconciled to his own family. And in doing so, also, he have a job, a commission to declare, to tell other people what God has done for you. And I wonder how many of you have remembered what God have done in your life. So today's story reminds us that this person experienced God's grace and mercy, and then he goes and tell everyone about Jesus. How about us? How much have you remembered God have done for you? And how often and how much have you shared what God have done for you among your circle of influence? So I think this is today's story is reminding us that remember what God have done for us, and remind us that what our response to Jesus is, how to share God's goodness and praise among the people that God placed us in. Let us pray. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for your amazing grace and your salvation. May this story encourage us, motivate us to declare your glory, to declare your goodness every day of our life. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.